All right, everybody, welcome to my show. You know how I do. It's Adam Cast. IRL, play a little tune for you. That's all I'm going to do. You know why? Because there is so much going on this week. This is a crazy week. I believe maybe one of the craziest weeks of 2020. Now, I realize it's 2021. Yeah, whatever. Who are we kidding? It's still 2020. 2020 never ended. We're still living it. It's still going on. It's not going to be over until somebody wins. You know, I've been tweeting almost every other day. Who do you think will win? In fact, I didn't do it today. I should do that. But whatever. I'll do it after my show. Who do you think is going to win? Trump or Biden? And everyone's like, it's already over. Trump already won. It's already over. Biden already won. It's literally one or the other. And doesn't matter. Today, I have a special guest with me, Ryan Hartwig. Thank you for joining me today. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Adam. It's it's fun to be here. I was on the Tim Cast show at Tim Pool, and I think you're both skaters, right? You both have that background in skating, it's fun to be here. It's fun to just touch bases. I've been packing furiously for my trip to DC. I fly out tomorrow.
Yes.
I'm one of the, just so the people to know who don't know me, I'm a whistleblower. I worked at Facebook for 2 years. I blew the whistle there on their bias. And then I worked with Project Veritas. I was basically a source for Project Veritas.
So. I applaud you, sir. And that's actually when I first found out about you, because I was kind of going through this, I need more information. I want to know all the stuff I can find. And around that time when you and Project Veritas worked together, I was like, oh, this makes a lot of sense. You know, this was the kind of stuff I was looking for, you know, the bias in media, the bias in these tech companies. And so you actually worked for Facebook for 2 years.
Yeah. So I was a contractor for Facebook. So I worked directly for Cognizant, a big IT company, and they had a 3-year, $200 million contract with Facebook. So I was basically the internet police, so the Facebook police, so to speak. But as a result of that, I had to study their policy language for nearly 2 years. So I had to study, and if that's too loud for me, to study their policy language. So I'm very familiar with how everything's worded, what you can do to avoid getting deleted or banned. But I reviewed videos, posts, direct messages on Facebook and Facebook and Instagram.
Yeah. Wow. So you were actually the one recording people talking about their biases. That's crazy.
I filmed my coworkers talking about their biases. One of them openly talked about assassinating Donald Trump.
Wow.
Taking the $80 million bounty from Iran. And so this other, another coworker would just always just rag on Trump. And another coworker openly admitted to deleting, even though it was against the rules, he was deleting anything that had MAGA in it.
Yep. So. I remember that. And I was like, that was right around the time that I myself realized that I'm a Trump supporter. And I came out with it talking about how I'm a Trump supporter. And, you know, Facebook, there was a big, you know, I lost half of my friends, well, quote unquote friends. It was kind of a relief. I'm like, you know what? Good. If you're not going to accept me just because I have a different political meaning, you know, leaning than you, you're not really a friend. Yeah. So it was kind of an eye opener for me actually as well. And I'm sure for many people, although it wasn't really a surprise to learn that Facebook was really biased. What I do find interesting though, is when Zuckerberg was, you know, speaking in these hearings, he was actually kind of honest about it. Like he didn't really deny it. Whereas Google and Twitter, you know, Twitter, they were more like, no, we don't know, blah, 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 blah. And Zuckerberg's like, yeah, absolutely. We have influence. Like there's definitely bias. And I was like, oh, Zuckerberg, did he just admit it? And he's like, yeah. It's like, okay, wow, all right.
Well, yeah. And what we got, what they got Zuckerberg on is, so in 2018, right after I started in April of 2018, so I started in March of 2018. Okay. In April of 2018, Zuckerberg testified in front of Congress, and he said that, it essentially testified that they do not censor political speech. And so my evidence was directly contrary to that. So when Congressman Matt Gaetz, I gave him some of my evidence, he actually sent a criminal referral to the DOJ for Mark Zuckerberg for alleged perjury. So I mean,
lying. That's yeah, true.
And I think everyone hates Zuckerberg equally, right?
Yeah.
But dude, I've got this book coming out in a couple of months, and I've got a list of 40 examples. Like you had the original Project Veritas release it was 20 minutes long. Yeah. So I talked about how, you know, they gave an exception to allow Don Lemon to say on air, straight white males are filth. I'm sorry. He said white males are terror threats. The straight white males are filth for not supporting LGBT. That was an exception that Facebook gave. They carved out an exception to allow an attack on one ethnicity. So look, I don't like to play the race card or anything like that.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
If you can apply the rules, like apply them equally.
I agree with that. You know, it's ridiculous that it's so polarized, you know, and it's like if it's a crime to be white nowadays, and it's just.
Yeah, white trash initially when I started there was, you know, hate speech as it should be. And I know it has a different colloquial usage in certain parts of the country, like white trash, trailer trash. It's almost synonymous. But so it started being against the rules. But then like a year after I was there, they changed the rules and they said, we're no longer considering white trash as hate speech. So I just thought that was interesting. But you know, it's just that double standard. I mean, if you substitute white trash with any other race, if you insert
certainly
race there, obviously that would be very racist if you substitute any other race.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sick of it. I was raised where everyone's equal until someone proves that the individual proves otherwise. You don't stereotype anybody because anyone could be cool. Anyone could be, you know, a terrible person. Like it's in anyone's core to be an amazing person and a good person with good morals or bad morals and a terrible person. Like literally anyone of any color can be that, any one of those type of people, you know? It's so frustrating to see how we've devolved into this segregation of whatever, you know, everyone's putting us in these different groupings, and it's like, why? We're all human beings. Like I'm so fed up with this.
And that's part of the skater culture, right? Like I know
true.
Skater culture is very non-judgmental and embracing of different viewpoints. And I try to be the same way. Just look, live and let live. As long as you're not attacking me, like more of a libertarian perspective, as long as you're not infringing on my beliefs. And actually, I'm actually on this Facebook group with some friends, and it's called Seasteading, the Seasteading Nation.
Okay.
So they want to create their own basic country out in international waters.
Okay.
Little islands.
Nice.
And have their own society. So, I mean, we definitely need to be accepting. You talked about your, you know, how you, when you went public with your support for Trump, the tolerant left unfriended you, right? The tolerant left.
Yeah. Oh, they did more than, I mean, before they unfriended me, like just on my post, like, hey, I'm voting for Trump. You know, I would like to, I've learned a lot in the past couple months that has shifted my views politically. You know, if you're interested, you know, send me a message and we'll have a chat about it. And that's what it was. And man, the comments, there was over 100 comments easily within a day and a half, 2 days.
Yeah.
And it devolved into this name calling. And suddenly these people that didn't know me at all, you know, they were just associates, were calling me, you know, a Nazi essentially. And I'm like, who, do you know me at all? Like, get out of here. Like you clearly don't understand the person I am. I'm a patriot. I love this country. I love the people in this country. I love people everywhere. But again, anyone could be a good person and anyone could be a bad person. Like, the color of the skin doesn't enter into that equation ever. Even when you find out they're a good person or they're a bad person, still it doesn't enter into the equation because it shouldn't ever enter into that equation. Period, you know, and they just they need to blame people. They need to put us in these different bubbles to keep us attacking each other instead of realizing that we should be together because we aren't the problem. It's the people that are pulling all the strings that are the issues.
Yeah.
You know, the big tech companies and, you know, and I mean, that's why you probably did that, the whole whistleblowing, because you needed people to see their bias and how bad it has gotten.
Yeah, right? You know, my motives for that were just seeing how global this was. So when I started there, I had access to the U.S. training decks, but I was actually hired at to do content moderation as a Latin American expert or bilingual moderator. Okay. So I was reviewing content in Latin America, in Mexico, Colombia, Venezuela, in Spanish.
On Facebook. Oh, okay.
And so I had, while I was reviewing that, I also had access to all the, you know, training material in English as well. And occasionally I'd do English content. And the last 6 months I switched entirely to the North American side, but I saw how they were interfering in elections throughout the world. I mean, Facebook has training decks for Canadian elections, elections in Spain, Taiwan, Hungary, Poland.
Wow.
So seeing after studying the biases and the policy, I saw these biases and I'm like, well, if they're doing it here, if it's a global, I know it's a global policy. So yeah. So if they're doing the bias here, then they're definitely doing it in other countries. So that was my motivation. I just saw the scale, the sheer amount of volume and content we were moderating. And so, for example, in Venezuela, at one point we had a post where it said, hey, there's people are calling for an armed revolution, delete these posts calling for an armed revolution. And then that hit me. It hit me that Facebook has tremendous power. They have the power to shut down a revolution.
Yeah. Right?
So seeing that in Venezuela really struck a chord with me. And now we're in, you know, the 2020 U.S. election. But also when I was at Facebook, I saw how they prepped for the 2018 U.S. midterms. And they really trained us hard and spent a lot of money training us. And in the first place, bringing all these content moderation jobs to the U.S. so they can more closely monitor the U.S. elections. And so we would raise up, you know, election fraud, or like people, you know, for example, if you're telling someone the wrong date to vote, okay, that's election fraud.
Yeah.
So to begin with, all right, so who gave Facebook the authority to enforce U.S. election law? That's my first question, right?
That's a good question.
So
why, and the answer is nobody.
Nobody gave them the authority.
Yeah.
And you know, this is the same company that had Cambridge Analytica. So even people on the left would agree, look, there's issues with data privacy. So anyways, Facebook, yeah, so they gave us a training deck for the elections. They created a whole new queue to monitor the election content. So from about, yeah, so I was in the North American queue from July of 2019 until February of this year.
Yeah.
And that was until we all got laid off. The contract got ended, ended prematurely. And so, I mean, we had trends like this past December, like there were trends like Civil War, Boogaloo. And so we were raising up those trends. So Facebook didn't just want, hey, we want to find what's violating. They wanted to know what was trending. So we were their eyes and ears to monitor what people were talking about. So a manager literally told me, I was raising up Civil War and Boogaloo. Boogaloo means like, it's kind of like a reference to a civil war.
Yeah.
And this was during the impeachment. And I'm like, hey, what should we do with this, Sean? And he's like, keep on raising up those jobs. Facebook really wants to see them. If they had seen similar trends in 2016, they would have put things in place to prevent it. He told me that face to face. So I'm like, so why the heck does Facebook care so much? They wanted urgent visibility into the Democrat debates. So we clearly know that, you know, they revealed their face, their mask. They pulled off their mask in October.
Yeah.
Fully. We know they banned all these, you know, Google banned all these YouTube channels.
Yep,
but leading up to it, I personally witnessed what they were doing, and I have evidence that they were, you know, interfering. So
I mean, it's more than ever now very apparent that they are a publisher. They can deny it all they want. Big tech are publishers. It is the new town square. The internet is a part of human society now, and we have to accept that it isn't just some thing that everyone can enjoy. No. It's something that everybody is online. Everyone has a smartphone. Everyone is able to get on the internet, and the big platforms are the places that people convene and talk.
Yeah.
You know, it's like we have to maintain some air of freedom of speech, freedom of communication. We need to be able to, and not have someone manipulate it. And that's literally what they're doing. They are manipulating the way that we see other people's opinions. And it's so obvious, especially now from what you've just told me. It's like, it's beyond obvious. Like, they are literally doing it and not even being quiet about it anymore. It's like they don't even care. They're just like, you know what, whatever, ban these people because they are, it's not the right think that we like, you know, just get rid of them, whatever. They don't even have to explain it themselves anymore. They're just doing it. That's what blows me away.
Yeah, they don't even care anymore. Like, they really don't care. And you know, the Facebook, it is a public square. People are always like, oh, well, it's a private company. Yeah, I know, I understand it's a private company,
right?
But you know, in the last 10 years, the landscape of the internet has changed so much.
Exactly.
And you mentioned in Section 230, and there's a guy named Jason Fick, F-Y-K.
Okay.
And he has a lawsuit against the Supreme Court that should be heard in a couple months. We'll know by January 8th if they'll hear his case. So what the issue at stake here is, you know, whether Section 230 needs to be reinterpreted or repealed completely. So Jason Fick thinks that it can be reformed, that it's never been interpreted by the Supreme Court. He thinks that repealing it would be chaotic.
I agree with that. Because they can then, literally, they can ban everyone then, anyone that they want, without any recourse. I mean, they're basically doing that now, but if they don't have protections, then they will just ban everybody almost. And of course, if they ban everyone, then no one will be on their platform. So it's kind of a, who really knows, you know? But I think repeal is definitely, or reform is absolutely the way to go, because they need to be protected, but then we also need to be protected. And at the moment, only they are protected, and we don't have any protections. We're just like at the whim of whatever they say, because they're a private company. It's like, sure, but as you said, it's like the landscape of how much internet has integrated into the human society, it's completely changed.
Yeah.
You know, in the past 20 years, especially, like even 10 years. Yeah. It's been a drastic difference of how much the internet is a part of our lives. Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
No. Yeah. And Jason Fick's argument focuses on the difference between the publisher and a publisher.
Go on.
And basically the courts in California have misinterpreted Section 230 and given additional protections to these companies, to big tech, so that the clause in good faith does not apply to these companies under certain circumstances. So that's the crux of his lawsuit. And it was, so there was a case a couple months ago, Malwarebytes versus Enigma Software, and Clarence Thomas issued an opinion similar to Jason Fick's viewpoint on Section 230. So if you're nerdy and you like reading through briefs and Supreme Court briefs, Malwarebytes versus Enigma Software. And Jason Fick, he's a friend. I think we're all allies in this fight against Facebook. And it's not just conservatives. Like, I identify more, you know, as I would say more libertarian. But my friend Zach Voorhees, the Google whistleblower, he's a classic liberal. So it's I think there's other people involved who, you know, people from all political spectrums involved who are in this fight, who realize that big tech's too big. So whether we fix 230 or whether we get rid of Facebook through antitrust, I think people realize that Facebook's a threat.
Yep. I mean, that's why how many times have they been in front of a Senate hearing this year? 3-4 times or something? I don't know, but it's clearly it's part of the discussion. Clearly, I mean, and then of course President Trump is adamant that it needs to be repealed. I mean, I disagree with it, but the repeal part of it, but he actually went a step bigger. He started attacking the NDAA, the National Defense Act, which 230 is a part of, but then also the Smith-Mundt Act, which is in there, which is basically allows you know, the media to shove propaganda down American citizens' ears. And you know, I kind of was like, oh, you know what? It's interesting that he would go above Section 230, because that's really the key. It's the whole act shifted a lot of different things back in 2013 when it was signed in. It's, you know, a lot has changed from that point. And you look at the way Facebook has that power and Google has that power and Twitter even now, Twitter, because now Twitter's bigger than ever. And it's scary.
They just use Section 230 as a brand protection tool. Like literally, so like 20 years ago, okay, they created the law, that's Communications Decency Act in 1996 to protect children from the internet. Right. Do you really think the internet is safe for children?
No, definitely not. Absolutely not.
So it's
ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Any child could get on the internet and type in,
obscene things. Yeah.
Porn, you know, you type it in and I'm sure anything will pop up, or I mean, whatever. What do you not want a kid to see on the internet? That's probably on the top of the list, you know? Yeah. So it's like, if they want to find something, they can find it. It's like the internet isn't like...
And I deleted that.
Open.
Stuff,
so. It's the internet. But it's not about the kids. It's about their parents that should be a part of their lives to teach them, you know, about what the internet is. And, you know, it's like teaching them how to go outside and like live life. It's part of life now. So it's on the parents to teach them, you know. So, I get it, but I don't want the government deciding what our children can or cannot do. You know, I would when I have kids, which I plan on having children, you know, I'm going to teach them everything I know. That's because that's what I want my kids. If I knew what I knew now when I was a child, I would be better off now as an adult. But I'm an adult. Here I am in life. You can't go backwards. You move forward. So I would teach my kids what I know. And that's what you should do, you know. And it's not up to the government to teach my kids what they know. And I don't like that feeling.
And just one last thought here on Section 230 or on Facebook censorship before we talk about we're going to talk about the election and
let's move on. Go ahead.
One last thing. So just so you know the priorities. So I was deleting like crazy stuff on the internet, like cartel videos, beheadings, terrorism,
stuff that should be taken off these platforms.
Yeah. So they'd prioritize that, and that's important to take that stuff down, right? Okay.
Yeah.
But Greta Thunberg was a very high priority for Facebook, and also InfoWars was. When they deleted InfoWars, it was an emergency update. So it just gives you what the priorities are like. So Greta Thunberg was Greta Thunberg?
We all know who you're talking about.
So she was being attacked online and being called retarded. So they retarded. Okay. So look, I respect her, you know, her activism, what she does.
Yeah, yeah.
She's a minor. She's a public figure. She's putting herself out there. Okay, great. Kudos to you.
Yeah.
But as a minor, so JoJo Siwa, for example, is also a minor public figure. You can call minor public figures per the policy retarded. You can call them that. So Facebook made a special exception to delete retarded from Facebook, and they sent us like jobs, hundreds of jobs all week. So for an entire week, they had their AI like search the internet for that phrase and then fed it into our queues.
Yeah.
Just to show the priorities that Facebook has when there's all this bad stuff on the internet, they're focusing on people calling names towards a climate activist. So
because it was probably trending over those other things that, you know, you probably would have wanted to get rid of. Like the beheadings or whatever that you were talking about. Funny enough, she actually just turned 18, I think yesterday or the day before. And did you see the tweet? Oh my gosh.
The evil handlers have
left. I got to bring it. I'm going to read that. I got to read this out for everyone right now. Because if you guys don't know, so Greta, she just turned. I just got to go to her page because I don't know where I'm going to find this.
I think bookmarked. Hang on.
She turned 18. And she went nuts. Here it is, right here. Okay. So let me just share my screen so everyone can see it here. All right. So this is her. She's giving a thumbs up. She's got a shirt that says Flat Mars Society. That alone is interesting because I don't know what that means. But here she says, thank you so much for all the well wishes on my 18th birthday. Tonight you will find me down at the local pub exposing all the dark secrets behind the climate and school strike conspiracy and my evil handlers who can no longer control me. I am free at last. What does that mean, Ryan? What do you think?
So and we'll talk about Linwood Suites here in a minute too. Talking about Grange Suites.
True.
This tweet.
Do you think it's a troll?
I think it's a clever troll because people have been implying that she has these evil handlers at least.
Yeah.
She's being controlled, that she's just a puppet.
It's true.
So I think it is a clever troll. I don't know what Flat Mars Society refers to. Maybe it's just like a playful attack on Flat Earth Society.
Yeah, maybe. Uh-oh, now that we mentioned that, I'm probably going to have a last time I just mentioned Flat Earth. All of a sudden, there was a correction underneath my YouTube video saying, actually, Flat Earth is proven wrong and blah, blah, blah. Some sort of weird fact check. You know, I'm going
to
just check it
out.
We're
not here to advocate or discuss Flat Earth. We're here to talk about
it. You never know. Okay. I just checked the video. We don't have a fact check below.
Okay, good.
But it wouldn't have surprised me. But anyway, enough about Greta. I definitely it's good to see that side of things, how they prioritize, you know, whatever they feel like they want prioritized, they can do it. That's really the core of that. But let's talk about Linwood.
Yeah.
Because you mentioned crazy tweets, and we just went over Greta's crazy tweet. But Linwood, my goodness, he has been...
Oh my gosh! So
how do you describe it?
Good until like mid-December, and then I don't know what happened. Mm-hmm. So there's people I know who are defending him. There's people I know. There's a lot of big people who are just calling him out.
Yeah.
So this could be my best guess is this is calculated misinformation campaign.
Okay.
To just distract Republican voters or people in general before the big stuff comes out.
Yeah.
That's my best guess. That's the most optimistic perspective. The pessimist in me is saying that he's just off his rocker and just wants to F with people.
Yeah. Well, I was just listening to, I wanted to know more about his mental state. So I found this, it was from today. It was a 1.5 hour conversation, on YouTube. It was someone interviewed him and they had a bunch of different questions. What were you thinking about this saying Epstein's alive? And what are you talking about with Mike Pence being a traitor and, you know, basically calling him out for all these crazy things. And I'll talk about all his responses in a second. But one thing that caught my ear was he was saying, look, I'm a defamation lawyer. I know what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
And if anyone sues me, it opens up the case for me to investigate all the things that, like Dominion Software, for example, he's been calling them out on it. And Dominion has been saying, we will sue anyone who says these things. And a lot of people started being quiet. This, you know, like 2 weeks ago, they said they're going to start suing people. And then, of course, like Newsmax, for example, all of a sudden went, all right, we don't know for certain, so we're not going to talk about Dominion anymore. Well, yeah. Lynn Wood's like, I'm going to talk about Dominion. Please feel free to sue me, Dominion, because if they do that, then it opens up the channels for him to actually be like, it prove the things that he seemingly has already proven. The way he's talking, he has the proof. But if they open up a lawsuit against him, then he can go, okay, here's the proof. Now I get to corroborate it on through the legal means, which is, I think, what he actually wants to do. You know the big ask? Trump's the big ask? Mm-hmm. The art of the deal.
Oh, so, yeah. Okay, yeah.
So Trump has this thing, you know, the big ask. You always ask for more, you know, than what you want, because then you'll end up getting something like what you want. And it's, you know, it doesn't always work. But looking at what Lynn Wood's doing right now, I'm not saying I don't know if any of this is true or not. He seems very, very, very sure of himself. But even if it's not 100% true, if he is trying to do the big ask where he's just trying to bait someone to sue him so it can open up the means for him to actually go after them through the legal means, you know, or if it's just, you know, pushing the boundaries of what people think is real, you know what I mean? Or yeah. even like, I don't know, like, look, if aliens are going to attack, or actually they're not going to attack, but they are actually here. You know, it's kind of like it lessens the blow, right? Of the truth that is coming out. So, you know, if all the stuff that he's been spouting doesn't actually come true, but then we find out that, you know, all of the fraud is legitimate, and these yeah. ballots that were printed in China and came over, which is another thing that with Jovan's talking about, and Lynn Woods also has been saying that that's going to be the case. And we'll talk about Jovan in a second. But, mm-hmm. you know, this whole dead man switch.
Yeah. Look at that tweet. His real name, actually, yeah. his full name is Lucien Lincoln Wood Jr. I think he should okay. put his full name as it on his Twitter, because he would sound more reputable, right? My name okay. is Lucien Lincoln Wood Jr. Right?
Sounds a little more reputable bot. Than
Lynn Wood.
Lucien Lincoln, huh? Jr. I like yeah. that. Lucien Lincoln. That's a good flow there.
Lucien's actually a bot lane. Is it a bot lane AD carry in League of Legends, Lucien?
Oh, okay. Never played. Are you a gamer?
I do some gaming. I dabble, yeah.
Okay. Right on.
I do not play League of Legends as of now, but I used to play it. So.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, he brought up, which is interesting. I didn't really know much about this, but I kind of delved into it after our conversation earlier today. The envelope, you know, the envelopes that were passed out. So I just want to state, this is all rather conspiratorial stuff mm-hmm. that we're discussing right now. Lynn Wood is that's basically what he is right now. He is a conspiratorial lawyer, as far as I'm concerned, because none of it is founded yet. If it ever will be, I don't know. But I'm paying attention and watching eagerly. But he talked about these envelopes, and mm-hmm. I looked up the footage myself of George Bush Sr.'s funeral. All right. And the Obama's got an envelope. The Biden's got an envelope. The Pence's got an envelope, and Bush Jr. got envelopes. And it shows their reactions of opening these envelopes. And they're the only ones who got these envelopes, and it's really weird. And now there's this conspiracy basically about how it's a note from George Bush Sr. about how he simply says, "They know everything. I'm sorry." And it was kind of like, if he went, they would release these. Yeah. People are talking, obviously the chat knows about it. I see them talking about it. Like Hiller got one too. Yeah. And you could see all of their responses, and they're not happy about it. And they seem freaked out, all of them. And it's like, what is in that envelope? And Lynn Wood's talking about how he knows that what it's about. And he knows that it's this whole, everything's coming out, and like who knows what, like, who is the person that is supposed to referring to they know everything. Who's they like Trump's team? Because is Trump going to drain the swamp legitimately? Is that what's going to happen in the next 2 days? You know, like, are we going to witness some sort of epic, I don't know, the, for lack of better words, a Kraken coming out and, you know, enveloping all these deep state people in government? Because I don't know, man. We started saying this is going to be the craziest week ever. You're muted. I can't hear you.
Oh, sorry.
That's all right.
It will be the craziest week. I mean, I'm going to DC tomorrow. I'm yep. flying in, and I'm staying. I have my hotel set up and everything. But like, yeah, the national Mayor Bowser is bringing the National Guard. Supposedly,
what's up with that?
Yeah. Remind me, Adam, I need to make some memes about Bowser and the Nintendo video game.
Yeah, yeah.
Mario, is it Mario World?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Mario, yeah. Bowser's the bad guy. And much like the DC, she's the bad guy. Seems like, anyway. Goodness.
So National Guard, road closures. But I'm expecting, I've been trying to reach out to people and find out. I think there's going to be, like, there's probably going to be 2 million people there. And woo! I bought some radios to stay in touch with my group, but I've got some people who have security. I'm not that important for security, but I'm tagging along with people who are that important.
Yeah, cool.
And so the National Guard thing, Lynn Wood, or DC. Okay, so let me just touch on Lynn Wood a little bit.
Well, yeah, he's moved to DC.
Okay. Anyways, he's talking to someone named Craig Sawyer. I wonder if Linwood will be in DC.
I wouldn't be surprised.
So I'm going to be there, Tuesday through Thursday. I'm speaking at a rally on Wednesday at the, I think it's the MAGA Freedom Rally, DC.com. It's okay. More of a medical freedom rally. It's just north of the left eye of the owl. I think there's like a part of the I'll have to look at a map, but it's not too far from the main protests, the main big one. So I'll be speaking, Zach Voorhees will be speaking, and what else? I'm probably going to freeze my butt off because I'm from Arizona. I'm not used to the cold.
Well, Arizona gets kind of cold actually in the wintertime at night. It can drop down there, but it's and you know what? It's actually been relatively nice here. In fact, I was just in Arizona 2 weeks ago for Christmas, and it was kind of chilly. And I got back here, and it was actually warmer here than it was in Arizona. So I think you'll be fine.
Interesting. I packed some, got enough gear for that, but I really think. So I've been saying it's going to be a shit show. But you know, I haven't been to too many rallies before. There's people who've been to DC rallies before. My biggest concern is just whether there'll be porta potties, public facilities for people to use, especially with all the wind out there. There won't be.
I doubt it. No, actually, I went to the Stop the Steal rally in DC. This was maybe a month ago now. And I believe it was a month ago. And there was one area that I had, two areas with lines of porta potties. So actually there was. And since Trump, this is the first time Trump's actually asked people to show up for him. So it's going to be, I'm sure that they're going to have some sort of setup. I would hope so anyway. So we'll see.
Yeah. And, that's my biggest issue. If someone can just drive in with a flatbed and put some porta potties on the back, even if you charge like $1 per person, you'd make a killing, right?
That's true.
We have rallies here in Arizona. I've been going to the rallies in Arizona, and I feel a lot safer at the rallies in Arizona because pretty much everybody is concealed carrying or open carrying.
And so
I'm not worried about like any attacks from Antifa or BLM. So that's, I guess, my only concern. But they'll probably target like the stragglers, right? Like going home at night, they'll probably try to target stragglers walking in smaller groups. I'm not sure what their tactics are, what Antifa and BLM's tactics are, but I think it's going to be pretty safe. I think there's going to be a lot of military veterans there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Too concerned.
Yeah, I don't think there's any concern either, because I know people coming from all across this country. I saw a picture floating around online of from Washington State, a line on the highway of just Trump cars as far as you can see until the road disappears. And I straight up think that DC is going to be just packed with just patriots, American patriots that love this country, and Antifa will be lost, you know, and they might be there, but they might be like, what are we going to do? You know, what can they do? Because there's going to, I didn't even know what the projected number is. 2 million people. That's a lot of people. And it would not surprise me, because I was there for the Stop the Steal rally. And I'll tell you, it was a lot of people. They were like, oh, there was only 10,000 people. It's like, that is BS. Okay. I walked through 10,000 people all like a bunch of different times. And just walking through, I'm like, I'm literally surrounded by 10,000 people right now. And I'd walk a few blocks and I was like surrounded by the same thickness of people. It was crazy. There was so many people there. And I was actually there in that picture that they were like, oh, it's photoshopped. Like, there's no way. Look, there's the same flag over there and this flag. It's like, I was there. Okay.
Yeah.
It is real. I know for a fact with my own eyes, I saw that amount of people. Like, you're trying to convince me that my memory and my eyes of being there are wrong. And you're telling me it was photoshopped. Like, it was not photoshopped. I was there. I saw that many people. It was insane. And Trump didn't ask us to show up. They just did it. And he actually drove through and waved to everybody, but he's going to be there. This is a Trump rally. This is him asking all of his Trump supporters to show up for me on the 6th, so we can reclaim everything. And I think that he's going to drop some some bombs, man. He wouldn't bring us there to watch him lose. You know, I don't think that's the case. I think he knows a lot of stuff. That phone call, you know, let's talk about this phone call.
Yeah. The phone call.
The phone call. Oh my gosh. All right. So
I listened to the first few minutes.
Hold on. Just a little backstory for anyone who's missed out. So over the weekend, Washington Post released this article basically saying, we got him. Like, look, he's admitted that he is trying to ask the Secretary of State and the Governor of Georgia to find 11,000 votes. And what it was a clipped recording of a conversation between Trump and the Georgian leaders, essentially. And the original video or the original phone call is over an hour long. It's about an hour and 5 minutes. Now, I've actually listened to it myself. And the ones that Washington Post put out there was like 4 minutes long, edited down all of the key points that make Trump look terrible. You know, no context, just pulled out. Like, oh, finger picked, cherry picked, all these things pushed out there. And now everyone on the left is like, we got him. Finally, we got him. He's corrupt. He's this corrupt politician. All right, now go ahead. You said you listened to some of it. What do you got to say about it? What's your
piece? I mean, I listened to the first few minutes and they're saying it's an edited video. So you'd think after listening, if it's edited, you listen to the first few minutes, you'd hear some bombshells.
Right.
But I guess they didn't edit it very well because I listened to like 3 or 4 minutes of it. And I'm like, okay, Trump is talking about statistics of alleged voter, you know, irregularity in your Georgia. Like, so what?
Yeah, exactly.
So that was my perception of it. And and I think that person who leaked it is being investigated now by the Secret Service.
Yep, they are.
So that's pretty fascinating.
Now, they actually came out today claiming it wasn't us. It was someone on the Trump team that leaked the video or leaked the phone call. Then why would Trump have you guys be investigated then? Come on. All right. Yeah. But regardless, I listened to the thing myself. I listened to the conversation. I'll tell you what. That conversation was Trump saying, I got the information. Here's an olive branch for all of your Republicans. Here's an olive branch. Are you going to take it? Are you going to admit it? Are you going to certify these fraudulent votes? Which is it? Because I know this stuff. Now come clean or because it's illegal. It all I can hear was, wow, he's actually trying to let them know, like, look, I got you. Come clean or, you know, because all the stuff's coming out. We know this information. As far as I'm concerned, this is what happened. You know, this is what I've seen. And they're like, no, sir, you're wrong. And it's like, okay, so you're all right.
Was there a phrase where Trump said we need 11,000 votes or something like that? They might misinterpreted or portrayed that in a certain way.
So in the context, you know, it's he was talking about, look, we've seen 300,000 votes that are fraudulent, okay? But we only need 11,000 is to win. That's the margin. So it's like but you take out that first part about how we've seen 300,000 ballots that are fraudulent and the dead people that voted. And, you know, he was talking about all the different things that they've found, but then basically ending it up with, and we only need 11,000, you know? So it's like we find 11,000 votes and it's proved that we won the state of Georgia. So if you clip that out and he's just saying, look, we only need 11,000 votes. It's like, okay, sure, it sounds bad. But then when you hear the whole thing about him saying all these fraudulent ballots, and you know, hundreds of thousands of different discrepancies, but then when the margin is only 11,000, it's like, clearly we won the state of Georgia because of all of the discrepancies. But they didn't add that part into the context. Then they just clipped it. Whoa, see, Trump's is claiming he only needs this much. It's like, they made him seem like he was like, oh, please just give me 11,000 votes. Please. Come on.
Yeah.
It's criminal. It's criminal. I'm going to bring charges against you. It's like, he didn't say that. He's saying what he's seeing happened is criminal. There is fraudulent votes that he's seen.
Yeah.
That, you know, and he was very confident in the fact. He wasn't like questioning it. He's just like, it was, you know what it sounded like? It sounded like an adult talking to their child who they knew took the cookies and ate the cookies. Did you eat the cookies? No. What are you talking about? There was only 4 cookies. when you know you made 6 cookies, he's like, look, come clean. And it'll be better for you if you just tell me you ate 2 cookies. Like, it's okay that you ate 2 cookies, but just tell me that you ate 2 cookies. No? Oh, you're going to stick to your guns? Okay. See you on Wednesday. That's what it sounded like to me.
Yeah.
It sounded like Trump was like, okay, I got you.
And speaking of 11,000 votes, Arizona, that's the margin in Arizona, 11,000 votes. And here in Arizona, we have some good state legislators who are pushing back. There was a lawsuit or whatever against the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors. Just so you know, Maricopa County, there's like 3 or 4 million people in Maricopa County. It's one of the largest counties by population in the United States.
Wow, yeah.
And so the Board of Supervisors is pushing back. They're refusing. They're countersuing or whatever, so they don't have to release the Minion, voting machines or do an audit. And so I've submitted a declaration to Sidney Powell for some things that I saw. There was something involved. It's called there's a story I was involved with dealing with a Korean Air plane at the airport.
Okay.
It supposedly had ballots in it. The key. So I went then. I got a tip about it and investigated that. Then Saturday after the election, I went to the airport and saw this Korean Air plane at a private hangar.
Yeah.
So I did not see ballots on the Korean Air plane, and Korean Air actually issued a statement. A blogger, I did an interview like a week ago in South Korea, and they got a statement from Korea Air, denying, of course, that they were involved.
Sure.
And so I just to be on the state, I'm not saying I saw those ballots. But and there's a lot to that story. You can go to my blog, ryanhartwig.org, and read more about it. But
I did read a little bit about that because you actually met up with one of the people that supposedly saw the ballots, right? But there was no actual proof of it. Is that right?
Right. It was really hard to get the proof, and I was told that it was raised up to the federal government to investigate, like, I don't know, like FBI or Homeland Security.
Yeah.
But it could have been, who knows, it could have been something else, like drugs or who knows. But I showed up there. I called a bunch of other people. The chief of staff for Congressman Paul Gosar showed up, and then at the end of the night, like that plane actually left and went to Seattle.
Yeah.
And I called the police. The Phoenix police filed a report. So there's a police report. We know that there's some other sources who say that Seattle was a hub for transporting ballots. So what's fascinating about that story is, After that night, this rumor got spread in Republican circles on Facebook about ballots on airplanes. And then someone else named Stacey Burke, she was talking about that. And then someone, to make a long story short, someone social engineered her way into her house, posing as like a security guy or whatever to check her cameras, because someone had hacked into her cameras. And she has a separate lawsuit against Arizona against Doug Ducey. But anyway, she was talking about this airplane, ballots on airplanes, and this guy named Scott Koch, inadvertently admitted that there was a second plane that he was dealing with that had ballots on that airplane at a National Guard hangar. So he kind of let it slip that, oh, hey, you know about that airplane? He's like, no, that's not possible. Like, my airplane's at the National Guard hangar. And yeah, so we're talking about the same plane. He's like, I guess not. I just accidentally revealed there's a second plane that I was guarding that had ballots on it that I was moving. So that's the important part of it. The Korean Air thing, I'm not sure about, but the fact that it led to Stacey Burke talking about an airplane, which led to Scott Koch revealing this second plane, that's the bigger story, I think. But
interesting. And has anything come of that? I know that there was a new lawsuit that was just brought up just under a week ago in Arizona. What's going on with that?
Yeah, I haven't been following the legal proceedings too closely. I know there was some lawsuits, and what's interesting is if that National Guard hangar. So if there's a National Guard hangar with ballots in it.
Yeah.
Like the National Guard is under the jurisdiction of the governor of Arizona, Doug Ducey. So if that is true, then that implicates Doug Ducey in a lot of things. So
interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. I mean, I just saw a new lawsuit that was just opened today that actually got a docket in the central or in with SCOTUS, the Supreme Court. It's Donald Trump versus Joe Biden in Wisconsin. not Donald Trump versus Wisconsin, versus the state of Wisconsin. It's versus Joe Biden in Wisconsin. And then so the Supreme Court's going to see that. I don't know much about it. I just noticed that. But before we move on from Georgia and the phone call, I want to just bring this up. This is from Patrick Howley. Oh, let me share my screen real quick. Mm-hmm. All right. This is really interesting. Okay. Caught on tape, Brad Raffensperger, who's the governor of Georgia, all right, begged for illegal Chinese votes in Georgia. Mandarin-speaking Chinese people placed Raffensperger in office with absentee ballots and bragged about it. Brad thanked them in Chinese. And I actually have listened to the tape of him thanking them. He says thank you in Chinese and then continues to say, yeah, and then continues to say, I would not have been able to get here without your help. Thank you for your help. I really appreciate it. And it's just like, what? So this came out today. Now, the phone call happened a day or two ago. Was it 2 days ago, yesterday? I don't remember when the phone call actually was, but Washington Post released the information, whatever. And now today we find, you know, now it's breaking that he actually has connections with China and that they helped him get into power. And I'm pretty sure I read an article about 2 weeks ago about how that he actually went to Houston a few times to the Chinese consulate, which was shut down earlier in the year because they saw it was a spy ring. So, I mean, that's something separate that I now have connected together with this. So it actually makes sense to me. But if Trump knew this when he was talking to him during that phone call, it makes it even more sense that it sounds like Trump knew exactly what he was talking about. He knew that he got this guy and he was giving him a chance. He's like, look, all I can hear was, I got you. Are you going to admit it? And Trump was just like, I got you. Are you going to admit it? And they're like, no, we're good. No, you're wrong. And then, of course, he had a press conference today saying, everyone just needs to vote tomorrow. Please show up and do your patriotic duty. And it's like, dude, do you think anyone trusts you at all or your voting systems in Georgia? Like, get out of here, man. No one trusts you. You know, and shout out to Julia Song. Actually, she has been, she actually stepped away from Twitter, but she sent me a message today. She said, I'm still doing work today. And she has signed up as a poll watcher on election day for tomorrow, which is cool. So if you can, I mean, help, you know, as much as possible. And that's something that's awesome because we need poll watchers that are actually going to, you know, go watch them so they can't keep counting the same ballots, which I've seen the videos of them taking the same ballots and counting them over and over again, five times in one video, five times the same batch. What? Yeah,
this is ridiculous.
Did they think they were going to get away with it? Like, I, my gosh, it's that video blew me away when I saw that. I was just like, no one's gonna talk about that. No one's talking about it.
It's insane. The China connection is really fascinating to see how you know, in the way we are with China. And just indeed, a quick aside back to my gaming, you know, days. I used to play PUBG, which is Player Unknown Battlegrounds.
Yeah.
And so we'd always mess with people in the chat when that game first came out. The servers were not divided, so you jump on the server and it was all like together. Anyone. So there'd all be all these Chinese people in there. So a funny troll we always do, and still when I jump on, I'll be like, China number one. Or like, you speak English? I'd like fake a Chinese accent. And then, and I can do the India one better than China, but.
Careful, Ryan. Careful. The world we live in nowadays. I don't think you're in fear of being canceled, but.
Just for record, I'm very multicultural. My wife is Hispanic and I speak fluent Spanish. I have a lot of fans in Brazil. I love, I know a word or two in like 10 languages, it's just a funny troll on PUBG, but we see how, you know, China's interconnected with us, whether it's video games or whether it's our economy or Mitch McConnell's wife, right?
or Fang Fang.
Swalwell's connection there to China. Yeah, and he's still sitting on the intelligence committee, by the way.
Which is bonkers that is happening. I can't even believe that. It's like, she's a spy, he's compromised, and he's still sitting on the intelligence committee. What?
Yeah.
What is this banana republic we live in? That's what it sounds like. That's what it feels like. My goodness. Wow. We are almost out of time. We're at about an hour. So I'd like to get into some super chats, but let's,
yeah.
And what else were we going to talk about?
You want to hear my Portuguese?
What's up?
Let's I was just going to say Spanish report. I could throw out my Spanish real quick, but,
Oh, you know what? No, that's good. That reminds me. On basically different languages and whatnot. Amen versus woman. Yeah. All right, we were going to talk about this. All right, for those who don't know, the 117th Congress met finally yesterday. They convened. Nancy Pelosi won Speaker of the House again. Blah, blah, blah. I'm a little saddened about that because she scares me as a human being. But that's neither here nor there. The funniest thing happened, though, during their opening prayer, they finished it up by saying amen and a woman. I'm not joking. People thought it was a joke. They were like, did I hear that? Are they trolling us? Are they serious? This is the funniest thing. They were absolutely serious. That is how far the left has gone. They don't even they hear the word amen and think that's toxic masculinity. Guaranteed that's what they were thinking. Seriously, not only that, they're trying to get rid of all gendered pronouns, all gendered anything. Mm-hmm. Mother, grandfather, stepbrother, father, mother, that it's all to be replaced with parents, grandparents, step sibling, you know, whatever, no genders, and also adding a woman.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So I pulled this up. I have a Bible dictionary here.
Oh, good.
Amen, according to the Bible dictionary, amen means firm, true. The word is used to denote acceptance or truthfulness. Amen was the proper response of a person to whom an oath was administered.
Yeah.
Christ is called the amen, the faithful and true witness. So, I mean, yeah, it has nothing to do with gender at all.
Not at all.
They're writing the Bible for, like, all the mentions of mankind and not mention why aren't they saying mankind and womankind? That's just a separate thing. But the word amen in and of itself is not referencing gender whatsoever.
Yeah. Someone in chat just said X-Men. That's funny. No, I think it's actually from Hebrew originally, and it's just been, you know, passed throughout the different languages, but still it's not gender. That's the main thing. They are making it about gender, and that is their whole thing. They love taking anything and making it about the fight that they're currently fighting, and that's gender, honestly, is number one almost on this list, because it's all about misogyny, toxic masculinity, and it's like a man or a woman. And now, you know, that Babylon Bee came out with that article today that was saying, you know, Biden changes his proposal. Instead of a national mandate, it's going to be a mandate and a woman date, a mask mandate. And I just,
that's serious.
No, Babylon Bee. Babylon Bee.
I mean, you never know.
I know. That's where we live nowadays. That's the type of place that we're in, that you would actually think that could be a potential, because they literally said amen and a woman, as if amen means, like, you know, the end of a prayer in the masculine form, like an a woman would be the feminine form of that. It's like, no, it's not masculine. Like, you did this. You're saying that it's a masculine thing. It's not. You did that. You're creating more of a divide. And you know what? I want to formally say thank you, Congress, for all of the memers out into the world, because you have gifted 2021 a wonderful memeing start to the year. I've seen wonderful memes created just from that. It is incredible, the meme network out there. Shout out to all the memers out there, because you've done a wonderful job of uplifting the internet world. And I'll just say a woman to that because, you know,
a woman,
a woman.
I agree. And, yeah, shout out to all the meme generals out there during this.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of memes coming from me. I've seen for 2 years. I saw memes. I reviewed memes.
I've seen some good memes. In fact, this is a meme that I just saw, and I just retweeted it because I was talking about all the different irregularities. Hold on, I'm gonna just pop this up real quick. So this is the votes in the U.S. election be like. Okay, I don't know if you know string theory or not, but this is when you observe an electron, it goes through just the two slots. But when you stop observing it, it's recorded that they go through all the different. Different spectrum, you know, it's about being observed or not being observed, which is really interesting if you understand string theory, and it's pretty incredible. But man, I saw this and I was like, that is good. There's so much depth behind this meme. And so props to Tristan SZ. I don't know if you made it or if you stole it, but either way, it's yours and you pass it on to me and it's mine now. So
my such favorite are
the rules of memes.
No, that's a great meme. No, that's really deep. I appreciate that. My favorite memes were what's the name of that movie? Gosh, the Avengers. Yeah,
the Avengers. Of course.
War or whatever. Those are the best memes. But memes play an important part, honestly, in how we communicate. And you know, I've censored memes before because Facebook has rules about. Mocking, we can't mock things, and it cannot be cruel or insensitive. So hopefully that meme is not cruel or insensitive, because it could be mocking those electrons. Electrons have, you know, an ion.
Oh my gosh! If this gets taken down, if this video gets taken down because electrons were upset, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me, because that's the whole thing, is people getting offended for others. So they're like clutching their pearls, like, those electrons have feelings. Oh. Oh my goodness, that's funny. All right, let's get into some super chats. Before we do, thank you everyone for hanging out with us. Make sure you smash that like button. Ryan, let me hear you say it. Smash it.
Yes, guys, smash that like button. Smash it, like, yes, just smash it.
Okay.
Follow.
Maybe a little more enthusiasm, a little more smash gusto. It. Yes. It,
like,
okay.
Like, yeah.
Ah, smash. Okay, sorry, I had to get that off my
chest. Smash Bros. On Super on Nintendo 64. Okay, got it.
All right. I appreciate that. And also, please subscribe. Please share. You can actually follow Ryan on his. Well, actually, he's got it right there. There we go. Right there, you can see at Real Ryan Hartwig. That's his Twitter feed. You can go find him there. At the same Real Ryan Hartwig. Excellent. All right, let's get into some of these super chats. Hydro says, seems like Tim put you onto a lot of things. Go do jiu-jitsu, come back and beat his ass and put him on the best workout in the world. Well, I mean, that requires me doing jiu-jitsu first, and I don't know if there's a gym nearby, but I skateboard and I tend to sit on this here chair a lot and do research, but I should get up and move around more. Gerald Armstrong says, Adam, have you watched Cobra Kai? They made fun of wokeness this season. I haven't, but now I'm actually interested in watching it. Have you seen it, Ryan?
No, I watched, I think I watched one episode, but no.
Now, I'm going to tell you, everybody, this might be a shocker. I've never, ever seen Karate Kid or any of the Karate Kids. Have you? Have you seen them?
I saw the original ones.
I've never seen them.
Wax on, wax off. You know.
I know that, but I've never seen it though. I've never seen.
At least you can quote it. I think that counts if you can quote the movie.
Okay.
I've never seen Anchorman. I don't think I've ever seen the full movie of Anchorman, but I would quote from it all the time. Like, you may not know me, but I'm kind of a big deal. I have many leather-bound books, so I think it counts.
How do you know them if you haven't seen the movie? Just from other people saying it?
When I was a teenager, all my friends would quote it, so I just started quoting them. So.
Right on. Hydro again says, does Ryan Hartwig study Brazilian jiu-jitsu? He has a thick neck. That's what she said? Sorry, I couldn't help myself. But go ahead, please. Questions for you.
So actually, funny enough, when I was in college, I graduated from Arizona State in 2015.
Okay.
And in that year in college, I actually studied Japanese jiu-jitsu, which is more of the throws and the holds. Not the locks, more of the throws. So I actually think that I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that Japanese jiu-jitsu is better than Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
That sounds like fighting words. Wow. All right. Well, Hydro, you were close. I'm kind of surprised, but not. It's pretty cool. All right. Ozdog says, Tim Pool acting like Twitter fact checkers. CIA? I cannot confirm nor deny. I'm not your buddy guy. Says, people must recognize that sometimes peaceful solutions, though always preferred, are sometimes not possible. If we were neutral like Sweden when Nazis would have won, we would be speaking German. Well, I mean, Sweden was technically neutral. They just sold weapons to everybody. So that's how they stayed out of it. But, Reagan said it best, you know, the way to end war is very easy. You just kneel and it's over. But the way to have peace is, I'm botching this terribly, but, he's saying you got to fight for peace, you know. Peace is never just going to be handed to you. So I tend to agree. And I think it's a shame because it is always preferred peace. Jonathan, thank you for becoming a member. Bing, 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 bing. Appreciate that. Nico, Adam and Ryan. So how would one approach a solution to the bias in the SoCal platforms? Would a repeal of 230 be a good start, or What is your solution there? What would you suggest?
One solution would just be like having, one solution would be, hey, look, we're only going to take stuff down that's against the law. If there's a crime being committed on Facebook, Twitter, then we will take it down because
against the law.
Yeah, against U.S. law. Because once you start defining hate speech, it's just a slippery slope, and if you got people who work at universities developing the policy language, then it's going to be wrong. Another solution would be to create like a sliding scale. So it was very binary. Like, do I leave this up or do I delete it? Well, maybe there should be a sliding scale. How offensive is this on a scale? Kind of embrace the subjectivity because we know it's going to be subjective at a certain level anyways, because the people who designed the policy have their own biases. So maybe incorporate that subjectivity into the decisions, but I just think it's unfair to delete someone's account entirely. Like, if you want to mute someone, just you can mute them all day, you can block them, but for them to have their account completely removed. So those are some of my ideas on how to fix it.
Well, you mentioned something earlier that I never thought about, because I'm in America, I'm American, I think about terms through American policy, that how it affects Americans, but Facebook's worldwide, you know. Big tech is worldwide. Twitter is everywhere. It's on the internet. The internet is not just America. It's everywhere. So how do we, you know, you got to think that what we do here in America, do we apply it everywhere? Do we apply it, you know, how do we, you know, if someone in on the other side of the planet is breaking the Twitter rules of American laws, Section 230, for example, you know, does it apply to them? Does it not apply? Does it end at the border? Is it because Twitter is an American company? Is it an American company, or Facebook is an American company? Correct. Right. So, you know, does it apply to anyone on Facebook, the laws that are here? You know, we have to think about that because, as you said, Facebook was influencing elections. They were stopping revolutions and, you know, altering the, how they see fit. And that's power that, wasn't elected, you know. That's crazy.
Yeah, so perfect quick example. So in Brazil, there might be a few Brazilians in the chat because I have a lot of followers on Twitter from Brazil. But in Brazil, so this explains your point exactly, because this Brazilian Supreme Court was literally asking Twitter and Facebook to ban certain conservatives globally on their platform. I kid you not. They're literally asking them to be censored globally. So what does Facebook
say? Did they do it, though?
I believe they did. Just certain accounts restricted.
That's crazy.
So, for that to happen, I mean, it just shows, you know, how interconnected Facebook is with certain governments globally and the influence they wield. So are they going to cave to a dictator's pressure? Are they going to cave to China? Well, they probably are already caved to China. Yeah. Who's giving them money? Who's financing them?
Yep. Scary stuff, but definitely something needs to be done. So Jonathan says, big news. Proud Boys leader Enrique Tarrio arrested in Washington, D.C. the moment the protests begin. How convenient. That is true. I have I've been paying attention to that. He was arrested for a misdemeanor of the burning of the Black Lives Matter flag, which he didn't even do because he's the leader of the Proud Boys. They tagged him with it.
And just to be clear, we are not praising, supporting, or representing any violent acts or just because this is on YouTube, we're neutrally discussing this news report, right?
Yeah, I'm just reporting what I heard. So
yeah,
definitely not supporting burning any flags. I feel like, you know, you don't, just like you said, you can ban people, you can mute them. This is the internet, obviously, but in real life, it's like, okay, whatever. Sticks and stones can hurt your bones, but words will never hurt you. It's like, What happened to the world where that is lost? You know, why are we so thin-skinned that we can let other people affect us in this sense? It's like, mind your own business and worry about you. Like, what we are in, it's just like it flipped the switch on us that suddenly everything offends everyone, and it blows me away that we're living in this world. You know, can I get an A woman? All right. So I'm just going to keep moving because we are kind of running out of time. I'd like to get through all the super chats. Yeah. Let's see. Georgie says, hello, Adam. Love your channel. I think that the elections were stolen in two ways. First, the lying mass media and big tech. And second, all the fraud that we saw evidence of and Democrats refusing to investigate evidence and even block. You got a point. I agree. I agree on both fronts there because we've been discussing big tech manipulation all episode, and it's very clear that they do. I mean, Ryan himself has seen it and witnessed it. He was a part of it and got out and called them out on it. And, you know, we're seeing how they're listening to world leaders and banning competition essentially. And that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's way too much power.
Steven
says, yep. Steven says, I heard Facebook had officially changed their status to that of publisher in order to be able to censor select information. Is that true?
I don't think so. I mean, if they're a publisher,
they wouldn't have protection of 230 then, right?
Yeah. So
I don't think that doesn't sound right.
I haven't heard anything like about that.
I feel like if anyone would know, it would be Ryan here. So I'm not sure if that's true. Black Magic says, if you could trade every day from this day to last, would you not trade those days to fight for freedom against our oppressors? We have one chance at freedom and we need to seize it. One chance. Well, I think there's one man that's doing a lot of stuff that we are going to find out, and that's Donald Trump. I've grown to admire and trust him and the work that he's done over this year. If you would have told me a year ago that I would have said that sentence right there, I would have called you crazy. No joke. A lot has changed for me in this year. I feel like I've grown incredibly mentally. You know, look at this beard too, right? I mean, I've grown a beard, and no, but seriously, mentally, I've had my eye opened, you know, for, and it's incredible. And I think we absolutely have to fight for freedom. And I think personally that China's trying to take over the world. In fact, they even admitted a year ago in one Xi Jinping's speech, he said the world would be better under Chinese rule. And they openly want to take over the world. So, and if you look at everything that they're doing, you know, shortchanging countries, you know, giving them money and then asking for the money back and then saying, that's fine, we just own your country now. And the country's like, what choice do we have? They're literally doing that all over the place in South Africa or in Africa, in Europe, even like these people are, they even America, they have like 3 million, I think it's 30 million acres or something of American property. Like maybe that's, I don't remember the exact number, but they own a lot of American property. They're buying our land. We're selling our land to them. Like, what is going on? They're literally buying up everything, and they want to control us all. And I think they're our biggest threat. And, you know, Trump's been saying China for a long time and everyone was making fun of him. But now I see why the media was making fun of him, because the media is controlled by China. Obviously, this is my bias, but I believe it. What do you think about that? How do you think of being a little far-fetched or what?
Has a lot more influence than we realize. I mean, we just just looking at the numbers, the sheer numbers, the amount of population. At the very least, they have a very large. What's the population of China? Like a billion?
1.3.
Yes, they have. At the very least, they have such a large population to support that they need to finance that somehow, and they can finance that by taking over other parts of the world.
Yep, I agree. Karma and Kerosene says, time for a social media strike. We need the biggest YouTubers and media personalities to set a date and push it. For 3 days, millions go cold turkey. Oh, man, I agree, but also it's my life right now. Like, this is how I make my living, you know? So it's an interesting balance that I have between, you know, being on YouTube and having that be my platform, and Twitter is my secondary source of information / getting the word out of what I'm thinking. So it's interesting because I'm not banned. I'm still here. I talk about a lot of the things that I'm sure piss a lot of people off, because they clearly don't like people talking about the voter fraud or the Chinese influence or pretty much anything I talk about. You know, they probably pisses somebody off, but I mean, that's fine. But I'm still going to keep doing what I'm doing, you know, and having a platform is giving, bringing this information to light. So is it better to stay on the platform to push this information, or is it better to get off the platform and not talk about it at all? You know, so it's a weird balance that I'm in.
Yeah. People are like, oh, just leave Twitter and Facebook and go to Parler and Gab. I encourage people to stay on Twitter. Because if everyone left Twitter, then it would, if all the conservatives left Twitter, it would just be this even more of an echo chamber for the left.
Yeah, so that's true. Yep, I agree. Werlabby Scott says, FK are building Wi-Fi towers across third world countries for total control. Interesting. I haven't heard that, but I mean, Elon Musk is getting internet to the world soon anyway. So these towers, it doesn't make sense to even do that. Although he does need to build a ground unit, because it sends the satellites to relay information and there's a certain area that they cover. So he'll need to build ground bases for the satellites to work. But even still, it's like, I don't know. It's interesting because he's trying to just bring the world into the internet era, which is amazing. Cypher says, thoughts on the GOP Senate showdown on objecting? Looks like 50-50 split as of today. Much love from Australia for both of you. Hashtag MAGA. We were going to talk about that.
There's the rumor from Lynn Wood that the VP Pence, Mike Pence, is going to be like arrested on treason or something like that.
Or so he talked about it at the fireside. He's like, look, either that's going to happen or he's going to step down, which means he would step down tomorrow. I think that's a little far fetched. But if it does happen, then he said it would go to the Secretary of the State, I believe, and which is Mike Pompeo, who is a patriot, who even stated 2 weeks ago when asked, you know, are you guys blocking a smooth transition to the next presidency? And he kind of giggled and he was like, there's going to be a smooth transition to a second Trump administration. Yeah. He said it just like that. And it was like, what do you know, Mike Pompeo? What do you know? And he's been posting a lot of stuff, Mike Pompeo. If you get onto his Twitter feed and read some of the stuff, he's also very confident. No one's talking about what Mike Pompeo's saying, because he's not being outlandish with his stuff. He's being like dead on with his stuff, not like Lynn Wood, you know. But it's interesting because he's the Secretary of State. He knows some stuff. Mike Pompeo, I mean, he's been talking about a lot of stuff even before the election, when he did his speech before in front of the Nixon Library. Or was it the Nixon? Is it the Nixon Library or is it the Reagan Library? Is it the Reagan Library? I think I don't remember which one it is, but he was talking about the Houston Chinese consulate and talking about foreign intervention. And Trump's been talking about foreign intervention. So it's sketchy. I mean, he obviously knows something. So, oh, man.
Yeah. Crazy. I think like I have a higher, pretty high opinion of VP Pence, but maybe he steps aside on purpose or resigns on purpose for Mike Pompeo to do certain things. It's kind of similar to William Barr. A lot of people are attacking William Barr for resigning. Oh, he's a traitor. Some people believe one theory out there is that he resigned so that he could testify in global tribunals against all this.
Right.
So that's one
true.
Theory.
Right. I heard about that too, that it was purposeful so he could actually testify. I don't know. I think there's way too much unknown right now, and everybody wants to know. And that's it. Mm-hmm. We all just want to know. We're all just waiting for it to happen. Well, it's 2 days away, so we're going to find out soon enough.
Yep.
Let's see here. David says, hey, Adam, people are saying Enrique Tarrio, leader of the Proud Boys, was just arrested. Lines up with what a French yellow vest protester said about how they will decapitate the movement's leaders before the big event. Stay frosty. Well, we did talk about it. It did happen. He was arrested for a misdemeanor of, I'm not sure exactly what it is, but supposedly it is he burnt the Black Lives Matter flag last time they were in D.C. Nate the Average says, bro, your channel should be way bigger. I would love a deep dive on the atrocious Soviet-imposed Holodomor. Keep up the great work and keep the beans flowing. I will, Nate. Thank you very much. For those who don't know, I don't know if you know this, I started a coffee company called Krigler Coffee. Very good coffee. It's I no longer have to try to find a good bean anymore. I just get my own coffee, and it's fantastic. I've been doing taste testing for about 2 months, and we just went live about a week before Christmas, and it's delicious. You can check it out, KriglerCoffee.com. And thank you, Nate. I know that you got some of those beans yourself. So, and thank you for those compliments. I appreciate that. I think my channel will grow if you guys keep sharing me and keep showing up for me. That's all I need. Thank you. Jake says, Adam is the man, and I'm the man, and you're the man, and he's the man as well. So you can point out your... Okay, Jake. That was fun to read. Gaseous Clay says, can you please cover Lesbian Seagull? I don't do covers, unfortunately. I'm sorry. But I do play my own music, Friday Night Jams. I did a few jams last Friday. Nate the Average again says, for real, rest in peace, Alexei Laiho, one of the best guitar players gone at 41. I saw that he passed away today, and that is a shame. It's 41 is very young. My goodness. So only 5 years older than me. And I feel like I haven't even lived half my life yet. My goodness. Black Magic says, remember the 5th of November, the election rigging plot. I know of no reason the election treason shall ever be forgot. I actually posted that on November 15th. Jake M says, he ate the cookies. Ha ha ha. Of course, he's talking about the Georgia governor who Trump knew he ate the cookies and he didn't admit it. John Gomez says, Enrique Tarrio, proud father leader, proud boy leader, arrested as soon as he entered D.C. for burning a BLM flag. What the heck? But Andy Tiff's Tifa's, no problem. Right. They burn American flags. If burning a Black Lives Matter flag is a hate crime, how is not burning an American flag? But that's legal because freedom of speech is protected, and if you burn an American flag, I don't know. See, it's they're changing the laws to fit their narrative. It's getting, you know, slippery slope. A man behind the screen says, Congress, I'm offended. You say amen, you say a woman, but no ATAC helicopter. Nice. As a proud member of the cult Mechanicus, this insult disgusts me. Nice one, Oz. That's good. Evan says, I don't like electron jokes. They're always so negative.
Boom. That was a good one.
That was good. I like it. Mr. Shazam, thank you for that super chat. Tristan says, I stole the picture from a physics subreddit, but the caption is 100% mine. You can have it. Thank you, Tristan. I appreciate that. Tristan, of course, is the person who I just showed the meme during the episode. Thank you so much. I'm glad you were here to witness me use your meme. Image JPEG says, currently learning German. I'd like to see the SJWs learn another Euro language. All nouns, example, chair, table, are gendered in German, for example. Well, also in Spanish too, right? Isn't everything... masculine or feminine? I mean, you've got
two. In Spanish, it's everything's gender. So the Spanish is actually good because it has an official, like a board in Spain who decides what's official. Like English, okay, we have the Oxford or whatever, Oxford Dictionary, but the Real Academia Española, they decide. They decide what words are correct and what are not. So they decided on the gender thing and then said, no, we're not gonna remove all the gender. We're not gonna make Spanish gender neutral. So they rejected that, which I'm glad about. But gender's in everything. So él está en la playa, él está jugando con su patineta, like he's playing with his skateboard. That's all. Everything's gender based. So,
and even if they did, no one's gonna change the way they speak their language. I feel like that would be ridiculous.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see here. Where was I? Steven says, "Amen" is Hebrew for "so be it." Oh, right on. Thank you. Shun says, "Will we live long enough to live a Final Fantasy VII dystopian future, jamming to that Genova theme and Sephiroth doing Supernova?" Really good song. Do you ever play Final Fantasy VII?
I never played the Final Fantasy.
That's one of the best ones, for sure. One of the best ones. Steven says, for example, amen, so be it, that our elected officials are not idiots. Oh, wait, they are. Nice one, Steven. Daniel says, the word mean is negative and contains both men and man. I'm super offended by this. Stop the sexist language. I'm loving your sarcasm.
So funny little side story. So when I was there at Facebook, they implemented a new regulation like banning any kind of female-gendered cursing, but they still allow male-gendered cursing. So if you go to Alyssa Milano's page or some celeb and you say, hey, Alyssa Milano, you tag her, you say, you're a dick. Or if you said, if you went on the same page and you said, Alyssa Milano, you're a B-I-T-C-H, one would get deleted, one would not. Guess which one?
Of course.
Facebook cares more about. They care more about the female-gendered cursing. So that's...
Well, because the patriarchy, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Angel of Sorrow says, since Tim won't do it, would you ever consider reaching out and having Michelle Malkin or Nick Fuentes on your show? Maybe. That's a maybe.
Michelle for you, if you'd like.
Definitely hook me up. That would be fantastic, for sure. Chuck Morris says, a woman, brother, sister, we own the night. Yeah. See, Norn Iron John says, the time to fight is now. The free world depends on this.
Yes.
Agreed. Gentleman Tuck says, Jeb is a mess. Okay. Mavis says, if Facebook isn't a publisher, then why are we saying they will unpublish a page for violations? They actually use the word unpublish. And didn't they just delete the Biden is not my president with like 1.7 million members, a private group? Like, they just deleted it. What's up with that?
Yeah, that's messed up. It's almost as bad as when they deleted the, it's
stupid.
I was there when they deleted the Area 51 page on accident.
It was an accident.
Yeah, I think it was. But yeah, I mean the fundraising page. Also, Purdue and Loeffler just had their fundraising pages taken down.
Right, I forgot Facebook. About that.
It's ridiculous. But the policy is just, the policy is nuts. I studied the policy for 2 years, and Facebook is nuts.
Yeah. Gentleman Tuck says, Jack Ma is missing and Jeb is a waste. I read about Jack Ma missing. That's crazy, because he was actually speaking out against CCP, and actually there was rumors of him potentially going up against Xi Jinping and trying to set up more of a democratic China, which would be awesome. And I'm nervous because it may be that Xi Jinping just had him taken out, or it may be that he's in hiding until he's able to pull the strings on whatever he was thinking about doing, because that's a big move right there. Aladdin Sane says, Adam, I blanked out my avatar on every platform to show I didn't trust the media. If everyone does that, the blank spaces can't be ignored or manipulated like hashtags. True, but it's a little late for me. I mean, my name, I'm me. I have a platform. I'm live. I am who I am. You know my name. My image and my name is more than just me being on a platform. It's my business now. So it's kind of harder for me to do that. Jay Rico says, I thought the word Latinx was really weird. I live in a predominantly Hispanic town and I don't know anyone that uses it. I don't even know if that is it Latinx? Is that how it's pronounced, or is it some weird?
Like I've never heard of that. That's just, I mean, some they just teach in like classes like at the university.
It's probably white liberals that designed it. They're like, we need to make sure that everyone has their own specific, you know, grouping, so that no one thinks that we're all human beings. We got to all be segregated. Stupid.
Yeah.
I got to just read this last one because I got to get off. Karma and Kerosene says, we release a song 3 weeks ago called Revolution Rising. Now is the time. Come check out the channel after the stream. Karma and Kerosene channel. Go check it out. They're a band. And that is it. I got to get off the internet. But tomorrow, the new internet arrives. So this will be the last time I actually have to worry about this, which is wonderful. But thanks for showing up. And Ryan, thank you for joining me.
Thank you so much, Adam. That was wonderful. Hopefully we can do it again. And yeah, thank you so much for having me on.
Excellent, excellent. And thank you all for joining me. I will be back tomorrow at 6:30 here on Adamcast IRL. Good night, everybody.
Please smash the like button for Adamcast IRL. Coming to you live every night, Monday through Fridays, 6:30 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time.